Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. So the question from yesterday's juz, we're going to make this one a little bit more difficult, but inshallah ta'ala, it relates very closely to what we are doing in these last 10 nights. There's a particular verse in juz 25 that had a significant impact on the life of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. His wife used to say that his qiyam was 2 rak'ahs, but there was one verse that would cause Umar ibn Abdul Aziz to cry all night long on a consistent basis. It is in Juz 25. So what was the verse that would cause Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah from Juz 25 to cry all night according to his wife Fatima? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all. Allahumma ameen. Also a reminder, dear brothers and sisters, as we are coming into the 27th night, bi'idhnillah, may Allah azza wa jal allow us to be amongst those who observe Ramadan and catch it, who observe Laylatul Qadr and catch it and have it accepted. Allahumma ameen. We want to remind you, inshallah ta'ala, that if you found benefit in the work of Yaqeen, bi'idhnillah, if you found benefit in the Ramadan series and 30 for 30 and everything throughout the year, please do, inshallah ta'ala, consider this for a donation, bi'idhnillah ta'ala, in these last 10 nights, in these last few nights, bi'idhnillah. So whatever it is that you can do to support, do so with ihsan, inshallah, with excellence. Not just Yaqeen, but all the wonderful efforts that are out there, the relief organizations, the masajid, the institutions. But these are nights of good deeds, and we appeal to you, inshallah ta'ala, especially now. If you haven't made a donation yet, and even if you have, add to it bi'idhnillah ta'ala, make sure you click that donation link tonight, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We're joined with Sheikh Abdullah Duru, as always. MashaAllah, Brother Imam Sheikh Hanif Faus from Philadelphia United Muslim Masjid, alhamdulillah. It's his first time. I think it's your first time doing Quran 30 for 30, right, Sheikh? Alhamdulillah. First time having you for Quran 30 for 30. And when you walked in, Sheikh, like, I have to admit, you know, Sheikh Abdullah has never greeted me as warmly as he greeted you. So I was like, well, I didn't know that you guys knew each other. So
we go way back from Medina, mashallah.
Yeah, mashallah. So what's that relationship? What's that history?
We were students at the same time. We started university at the same time, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. He's very known as a very studious brother, mashallah. Very serious, mashallah. May Allah bless him and protect him.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for joining us today.
Jazakallah khair for having me.
Hearing your insights, bidnillahi ta'ala. So we're in Juz 26, and subhanAllah, there's a theme that has stood out to me in these last few verses, in these last few ajza. It's the idea of fairness, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distributes, how He distributes His rizq, how He distributes His righteousness amongst His ibad, amongst His servants. And in Juz 25, we covered the ayah, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Do they apportion the mercy of your Lord? And what I was thinking about in Juz 26 was this ayah, Surah Muhammad, verse 14. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ كَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Can those who stand on clear proof from their Lord, can we equate those who stand on clear proof from their Lord to those whose sins have been made appealing to them, whose sins have been made beautified to them, and who only follow their desires? SubhanAllah, there are those who are looking, and in fact, the reason for revelation in the previous juz were that you had these people that were looking at the Prophet ﷺ, and they said, why him? You know, why didn't it come to one of us instead? Why didn't revelation come to one of us instead? We're more deserving. And not because of the qualities that they had, but because of the risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, despite them not being deserving, because they didn't do anything from a goodness perspective to receive that. But here Allah azza wa jalla is talking about the apportioning of everything, you know, from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and says, those believers who stand upon clear proof, are they really to be equated with those who follow their sins and whose sins have been made beautified to them and who only follow their desires? The ulama mentioned many beautiful things about this ayah in particular. Some of them mention kana ala bayyinatin, which has two implications. Number one, they follow clear evidence. Number two, they act upon that clear evidence. And so they're not just following the truth. They're actively looking for the truth and then actively acting upon the truth. And so their entire lives are defined by the truth, defined by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes clear to them of divine guidance, of revelation. They're looking for it and they are acting upon it. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening doors for them due to their seeking that righteousness, seeking that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying, what about those then who their evil has been made beautified to them? زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ. Now, this is really profound because you can see someone, and subhanAllah, it's interesting when you're on the outside of a life of sin and you're looking at someone who's really deep in it, and you're thinking, like, what's so appealing about that? What's so beautiful about that? Like, why would someone do that to themselves? But then that person is dependent upon that. They've been left to it, right? And may Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us. None of us are perfect, but the obvious fawahish, the obvious evil sins that are so ugly and they make people repulsive, even to everyone around them. And Sheikh Shanawi spoke about this way back, you know, in the beginning of the season. You look at that and you say, why, right? But they're so attracted and dedicated and addicted to those sins. And what are they following? وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. They're following their desires. And their desires have become so tainted that they pursue the ugliest of things, and those ugliest of things have been made beautiful to them. And it's because they don't know what a life of dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels like, and what Allah azza wa jalla opens for them as a result of them seeking Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's just really interesting to see this contrast here. Those who pursue guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them with more guidance, and then the fruits of that guidance, the reward and the tasting of the sweetness of that guidance. Those who pursue wickedness and evil, they are punished by being led to a greater evil, and that evil becoming more appealing to them, and as a result they follow their desires, and their desires lead them to their destruction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people who act upon evidence. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. The last thing I'll say, subhanAllah, is that many of the ulama mentioned in the tafsir of this ayah, كَانَ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. They are upon clear evidence from their Lord. Whereas the second part of the ayah, كَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ. The one whose evil has been beautified for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say their Lord beautified that evil for them. Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did mention that He has guided the believers towards clear evidence and clear proof. May Allah azza wa jalla make us amongst the people that follow the best of guidance and act upon it. Allahumma ameen.
حياكم الله جزاكم الله خير. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا أما بعد. You know, it reminds me when you're mentioning upon, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the guidance, ala bayyinatin, upon clear evidence. You know, when we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, iddina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. And that's what I want to talk about, particularly here in the chapter of Muhammad, verse 17, guidance. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after a'udhu billahi minash-shaytanir rajim, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. And this verse is so beautiful in regards to a number of points. I want to touch on some of them. But starting off with this verse in the Quran, we recite in our salah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Some scholars mention, اِهْدِنَا إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ وَفِي الصِّرَاطِ. Guide us to the straight path, and while we are on the straight path, maintain us upon that. So though you may call yourself Muslim, or you may be Muslim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, there still is the opportunity, we can say challenge, but the opportunity to increase yourself in ihsan, to increase yourself with huda. Because you may be shown the way, but are you still going the way? And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here. He says, as for those who were led to guidance, Allah increases them in their guidance. And this is very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you, ala bayyina, He will show you the clear evidences, but there still is a small window for you to have the intention and make the effort. And I want to do the tafriq and separation of these two, because innamal a'malu binniyat, everyone will be rewarded on their intention. But He says, a'malu, that actions, although you may have the intention, which inshallah you will be rewarded for with your ikhlas and sincerity, there still is the window of action. You know what's so beautiful? You know, I tell even my kids this, subhanAllah, you know, when you apply for a job, you get the job, you know, you apply, alhamdulillah, you get the job. When you get the job, they give you a probationary period, or probation, orientation period, right? They'll teach you the science, they'll teach you what's needed to be done, and then they will pay you upon that. And then after that, it's your responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the fitrah, the natural inclination, the carnal self that some would call it. He's given us this fitrah, which is kind of like a system, GPS, to understand who our creator is, to know that there is a creator. Then He gives you the sharia, the framework, the blueprint, that which nourishes the fitrah. And literally sharia comes from that which is a body of water, or channels of water, to nourish the fitrah, to align and refine it. So there is a system that He gives you, and it's just up to you to have the intention and to act on that sharia to the best of your ability, knowing that you are going to make mistakes. So this Sharia that he has given you, this body of this Islam, this system, this framework, when you follow that, notice, follow it. It is something for you to be guided by. And it is the effort. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, is وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا, those that seek, يَجْتَهِدُونَ, the ones that seek and make the effort to be guided, زَادَهُمْ هُدًى, he increases them in their guidance. So brothers and sisters, you know, we hear the term religious, it can be a loaded term. Because someone that is religious is the one that is making the effort. You didn't pray Fajr today, but you set your alarm clock, intention. You woke up the next day and you prayed when the sun was up, action. The next day, the next Ramadan, the fact that you had the intention, the fact that you had the intention and then made the small effort, a shakur. Allah is well appreciative. He is appreciative of that. When you make that effort, Allah will increase you. Many of us have, subhanAllah, made Hajj or Umrah, or just became Muslim, or made our first prayer. People say, man, you're not like you were yesterday. You changed. Something about you has changed. It's because you made that effort. Allah will increase you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. And then he causes them to grow in being God-fearing. God-fearing is a dimension of the word taqwa, because taqwa literally means wiqaya or protection. It is as though that mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused you to be someone that is a muttaqi. You're mindful of Allah, meaning you're mindful of the beautiful name, beautiful, complete, perfect names and attributes that are manifest in different aspects of your life. That's why it's important to remember the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how they all are incorporated, mutadakhila. They all have some type of connection. When one ponders over that continuously by just saying, Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path, and you really sincerely want that guidance while you're doing an action of salah, look at the sharia, look at the deen of Islam, how Allah has given us the framework to be nourished in this life, inshallah, to drink from the hawd, the fountain, in the next life, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in Jannah. So never forget, making that effort of guidance is guidance, and that will increase you to be one that is more mindful of the one that has given you the framework of guidance. And with that, we end, inshallah, we pass on to Sheikh Hanif, mashallah. Brother Imam, Sheikh Hanif, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you.
Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu rasulillah, ala rasulillah. I think the ayats that you mentioned kind of tie really into those last ayats of Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter number 49 of the Quran, because it's making that effort that shows a person's truth in Islam. And Allah requires us and calls us to be truthful, that it's not enough for us to say that we believe, but we have to put, as you mentioned, Sheikh Abdullah, those actions behind it. And so Allah begins, and subhanAllah, Allah, the way Allah speaks is beautiful. He begins by talking to the Bedouin Arabs who are talking about them, who have just accepted Islam, but have used terminology incorrectly. So Allah says, قَالَ تِلَ عَرَابُ أَمَنَّا. The Bedouin Arabs say that we have iman. And it's not that they even intended to attribute that to themselves, but they didn't understand the deen in its totality and understand how the deen works. Which also indicates that in order to be truthful in one's iman, a person has to have knowledge of the deen. Mm. And so Allah says, "Qul lan tu'minu, lam tu'minu." You haven't fulfilled full iman yet. Walakin kullu aslamna. Say that we have accepted Islam openly. Walamma yadkhul al-iman fi qulubikum. And iman, full iman, has yet to enter your hearts. And there's two beautiful things there. Number one, even though they were incorrect, Allah didn't allow them to lose hope. Mm-hmm. And you haven't gained full iman yet, mm-hmm. but it's possible. Mm-hmm. And saying yet means that it's still possible to get there. So he mentions that it hasn't entered your hearts yet. And then the other point is that iman is in the heart, that's where it starts. And so a person can't allow himself to be fooled by the outside, that because he's praying five times a day and doing those outward aspects of the deen, where's your heart at? And are you being true to what Islam calls to? And then Allah, because they don't have that knowledge, He defines what it really means to be truthful in iman. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Real iman is that you believe in Allah and His Messenger, and you have no doubt about that. وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ, and that you give everything, that you fight with yourself and your wealth for the sake of Allah, then Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Those are the ones who are truthful. And in that point there, Allah mentions in Surah At-Tawbah that we are commanded to strive for that truthfulness in iman. يَا أَيُّهَا آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah, obey Allah and be with those who are truthful. And here the Prophet the scholars of Tafsir, they mention that from the statements about who the truthful are Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhum, which again ties into what Sheikh Abdullah mentioned when we bring it back to Surah Al-Fatiha. Because if being truthful is being with Abu Bakr and Umar, then that means that we're making dua 17 times a day in our mandatory prayers to be from the truthful. Because we say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us on the straight path. Sirat al-Ladina na'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you've blessed. And the ones that Allah has blessed are the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. And so if we're making dua to be like them, we have to realize we're making that dua. If we're making dua to be like them, then we have to be learning what their lives were like so that we can be like them. And so these are the A'rab, these are the Bedouin Arabs who have accepted Islam. And so because they're out by themselves, they're not near revelation. They're not near the scholars. They're not there learning. And so being connected to scholarship and learning the deen is a part of being able to be truthful. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines for them what iman is. And they couldn't get that definition on their own. Allah had to explain to them what iman is. And then once they knew, again, He didn't make them lose hope that it was possible for them to get there. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلُ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. You haven't entered iman yet. And then Allah gives them the directions of what they need to do to be able to get there. So, and it's important for every Muslim, no matter where he is in his journey, that he's constantly checking himself, that he's truthful to what he's committed himself to. And especially in these last 10 nights of Ramadan, this is the time when the truthful show themselves. Because if you've really been fasting and praying iman and wahtisaban, then this is the time to take it to the next level. And on Judgment Day, a person will be able to see the fruits of being truthful, as Allah says in the end, the second to last ayat in Surah Al-Ma'idah, قَالَ اللَّهُ الْيَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. On this day, the truthfulness of those who were truthful is going to benefit them. And so a person has to strive to be truthful, which means that, again, he has to look at his heart to make sure that he's living up to what he committed himself to when he said, لا إله إلا الله.
Jazakallah khair. SubhanAllah, you mentioned Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. And both of them had a very unique interaction with the haqq, with the truth. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Siddiq, Tasdiq, he would affirm the truth immediately. When it came, with absolutely no hesitation, he affirmed the truth. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was, as the Prophet mentioned, if there was anyone from this ummah, min al-muhaddathun, who are spoken to, inspired. Inspired towards what? Naturally inspired towards truth, to where the Qur'an would come down to confirm Umar radiallahu anhu's opinion on something, because he was not following his desires. He was so ardently following the truth that the truth came from the truth, Haq subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it confirms, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's opinion, agrees with the opinion of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he's naturally being inspired towards the truth. And I think that's something, kana ala bayyinati min rabbihi, like when I think about those things that you mentioned, Sheikh Hanif, and you're mentioning, this idea of increase in guidance. I don't think we often appreciate that the Qur'an was coming down on a generation. Many of the Sahaba did not know how to read before the Qur'an. It's not like someone becomes Muslim, embraces Islam, and then you've got this whole resource to give them and guide them to this and this and this and that. There had to be an element of sincerity to just be willing to commit to the process, right? And you're talking about Islam and Iman, like just even being willing to say, all right, this is entirely foreign to everything that I've learned in Mecca growing up. I don't know any of this stuff, especially from a Bedouin Arab, right? This is, my whole life is making sure that I'm milking my goats, taking care of my flock, and that's it. I'm not interested in much that's grander than just tending to this little tiny piece of land in the middle of nowhere, not involved in much else. The sincerity required to commit to the process is actually profound. And when you do commit to the process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens your heart to layers upon layers, to where you'll find that things start to coincide naturally.
Yeah.
And for us, naturally always has a divine scheme, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always puts that all into play.
Now, like how you said, the sincerity of committing to the process, it kind of ties in when you mentioned iman and wahtisaban. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, man qama laylatul qadri iman and wahtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Man sama ramadan iman and wahtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Right? So whoever stands in the night of Qadr with iman and ihtisab. I like to look at iman as that which is the motivation and ihtisab is the destination. Because
translate ihtisab,
sure. Ihtisab is kind of seeking the reward. So you're seeking, though you have the baseline iman, the belief in Allah and the last day, and your ihtisab, you're hoping for that reward. So when you're in Ramadan, one easy way to hope for that reward is, subhanAllah, as Ibn Qayyim mentions in Wabil Sayyid, in his book, in Showering of Good Utterances, is of thinking of those dhunub. And you take that opportunity to think of those sinful practices that you have, alone with Allah, by yourself, because that will serve as a motivation. And Ibn Qayyim goes in depth when he talks about, he mentions the different situations of the heart. Inkisar, iftiqar, dhul, nadam. Your heart is broken. You feel deprived. You feel, you belittle yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you think about that sin that you've done, that is one strong means to become sincere. And then you hope, oh Allah, forgive me. Ihtisaban. I love that, subhanAllah. And that's the way that your iman increases and your guidance increases, especially in these beautiful, beautiful nights. It's khayrun min alfi shahr, that's greater than 1,000 months. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that, subhanAllah, understand iman truthfully and allow that to increase our iman to be those that are better the next, the following years, inshallah.
And I think an important point that I think both of you kind of touched on is the idea of ihtisab and seeking a reward means you have to kind of know what the reward is. Mm-hmm. And so there's a connection with revelation. And I think that's something that is kind of missed in Ramadan when we look so much at fasting. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. So this month is a celebration of the Qur'an, and reflecting on the Quran and seeing the rewards that Allah has promised. And when we talk about Abu Bakr and Umar, I think the points that you highlighted, Sheikh Umar, I think they were both connected to revelation. Mm-hmm. And so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was a Siddiq because he affirmed everything that the Prophet ﷺ came with, no matter how much and he could imagine it or it resonated in his mind. If the Prophet ﷺ said it was true. And as you mentioned, Umar radiallahu anhu, and his opinion agreed with the Quran. So the close connection that they had with revelation, that they had with the Quran and the Sunnah, undoubtedly is what put them on a different level, to the extent that the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognized the difference. Mm-hmm. And it's brought to mind the hadith that Anas ibn Malik narrates, where he talks about the man who came and talked, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You will be with those you love on Judgment Day." And then Anas radiallahu anhu, he says, "And I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I love Abu Bakr, and I love Umar, and I ask Allah to allow me to be with them, or that I be with them, even though my actions are less than theirs." So he saw a noticeable difference. And perhaps again, that noticeable difference was in what he saw in them being tied a bit tighter to revelation and the effect that that had on them. So I think all of those are important lessons for us when it comes to Ramadan and just being truthful in our iman. How much are we tied to the book of Allah? How much are we ready to give up, like we've been giving up for fasting? How much are we willing to do more, like we've been doing more and standing to pray Taraweeh and get up in the middle of the night and pray more and so on? Mashallah.
You know, Sheikh, that idea, subhanAllah, it always strikes me. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, may Allah be pleased with them. Vastly different personalities.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes.
They're so different in their personalities, different in their experiences.
Yeah.
Like all four of them grew up so differently with such different personalities. But what makes them al-khulafa al-rashideen, mahdiin, guided in ilm and amal, right? In knowledge and in action. As some of the ulama mentioned, al-rushd, al-hidayatu fil amal, that guidance in your action, guided in their knowledge and guided in their deeds, was their willingness to submit their personalities and to beautify their personalities with the revelation. And then that just channeled them to not just be beautiful for themselves, but to be beautiful for the ummah and to be beautiful for humanity, right? Because of what they brought as a result of that revelation, subhanAllah, guiding them nurturing the best version of themselves. Khadija and Aisha, may Allah be pleased with them both, our mothers. So different.
Yeah.
But the revelation carves out the best version of you and increases. Yes. And not just that gives us so much to benefit from until today, a blueprint, multiple blueprints, subhanAllah, with the ultimate blueprint being the one of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Now that's beautiful how you mentioned that. You said, because we hear the word submission and sometimes it needs to be broken down. You know, with submission, we're thinking, okay, in the masjid, praying. But you said submitting your personality.
Yeah.
I'm this way, man. I don't know if I'd be able to do that. You know, submit your personality. That's deep. Because you really have to look at every aspect of your life and submit it. It's Islam. And that's what Islam is, total submission to the one that created all of these faculties that we enjoy.
Sheikh Hanif, we enjoyed having you. We hope to have you again in the future, inshallah ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from you and to increase you in the night ta'ala and all of us and all of that which is pleasing to him. Amen. Sheikh Abdullah, as always. Jazakumullah khair, everyone. We'll see you all tomorrow, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.